Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
In 5 weeks' time, voters across the United Kingdom will go to the polls in a general election. But in Northern Ireland, this election comes at a difficult juncture in the run-up to the marching season and just months after the restoration of power sharing. So where will the battle for Northern Ireland's 18 seats be lost and won? And what will it mean for the province and its political future? Well, with me to discuss this are Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson and unionist commentator Alex Kane. And you're both very welcome. Alex, I'll start with you. I mean, the last Westminster election, less than 5 years ago. But since then, let's look at what we've had. The pandemic, four DUP leaders and a Sinn Féin First Minister. So there has been a lot of changes. Will you just remind us of the dynamics of Northern Ireland's last Westminster election?
Morning, Claire. Well, I think as you touched upon there, for the DUP in particular, it was a very difficult election because they were coming out of it on the back of an arrangement they'd made with the previous Conservative government, in which they held the balance of power, and they felt strong. They felt as though they had made a difference. They'd got £1 billion or so brought to the Northern Ireland economy. And they were fairly boisterous because they were the biggest unionist party and comfortably in the lead when they went into that election. And then they lost two seats. They lost two of their MPs. And for the first time ever in Northern Ireland's history, the majority of unionists, or the majority of MPs, sent from Northern Ireland to Westminster were not unionists. That was a huge, unexpected, devastating blow for the Democratic Unionist Party in particular, for unionism generally, but a good day for Sinn Féin, a good day for nationalism generally, because the SDLP got two seats and the Sinn Féin got seven. So that's still the hangover. It's this gap, as ever in Northern Ireland, forget the other issues in most cases, as ever in Northern Ireland, this is a constitutional headcount. And for unionism, it's going to be, even if it's only by one seat, they want to regain the overall majority.
Right.
And for nationalism and Sinn Féin, it's about adding to their tally and making unionism look more uncomfortable so they can say, why can't we have a border?
All right, so that's where the fight lies, according to Alex. Amanda, do you agree that that's the dynamic this time out?
Yeah, well, Westminster elections and any elections in the North are rarely about policy. I think going into this election, the DUP is probably under the most pressure because it's under pressure on a range of fronts. So it's got pressure from hardline unionists over the post-Brexit trading arrangements and return into Stormont. Then you have the sort of intra-unionist squabbles about pacts and maximising the unionist vote. There's also some pressure over the fallout from Geoffrey Donaldson quitting the DUP after being charged with historic sexual offences, which his lawyer has said he'll strongly contest. And then also from Sinn Féin, who might fancy a largest party hat trick because they're the largest party of local government. And at Stormont, they might like to be able to say that they're the largest party when it comes to Westminster. So everyone knows the North's a small place. It has 18 out of the 650 seats at Westminster, and rarely are our party's kingmakers. And that looks unlikely if it's going to be a Labour landslide as predicted. But last time out, we had 8 DUP, 7 Sinn Féin, 2 SDLP and 1 Alliance. So there's a lot of different interesting competitions and the potential for some seats to change hands, perhaps in some unexpected ways.
Well, let's have a look then at some of those specific battleground constituencies. So Lagan Valley, the traditional DUP stronghold, the last two DUP party leaders, Geoffrey Donaldson and Edwin Poots, elected here, the party's last First Minister, Paul Given. But could the DUP potentially be in trouble, Amanda, in Lagan Valley?
Yes, they definitely could. The Alliance Party through Source Eastwood has come in for Lagan Valley. You know, she reduced Geoffrey Donaldson's majority last time out. So that is one of the seats that they are definitely focusing on for Alliance. They're also coming for East Belfast, which is the interim leader Gavin Robinson's seat. So that gives you sort of a picture of the pressure the DUP is under there from Alliance. Also, Robbie Butler, the Ulster Unionist Party deputy leader, will be going to the Lagan Valley seat too. And I guess that Alliance will really want to try and hold on to Stephen Farry's seat in North Down. That's their one seat they have at the minute. They're under pressure there from the independent unionist Alex Easton, who is a former DUP MLA, and also from a British Army Colonel, Tim Collins, who's standing for the Ulster Unionist Party. I think Alliance would also maybe fancy giving the SDLP a bit of a run in South Belfast by increasing Kate Nicholls' vote, but it could be that the SDLP and Sinn Féin have an informal agreement Over South Belfast, perhaps Sinn Féin may not necessarily go for that if John Finucane was given a sort of a free run in North Belfast, where last time out he sensationally claimed the scalp of the DUP deputy leader at the time, Nigel Dodds. So there's a lot in the mix in those particular constituencies. And I think that because the former DUP leader was Lagan Valley and the interim DUP leader is East Belfast, people will be keeping an eye on East Belfast for how Alliance is coming for that seat with the Justice Minister, Naomi Long.
Mm-hmm. Alex, for you now, just looking at Lagan Valley, like how totemic would the loss of that seat be for the DUP?
Well, not simply for the DUP, but for unionism generally, because you have to remember with Lagan Valley, it is one of the jewels in unionism's electoral crown. It has never, ever been held by anyone other than a unionist. Sometimes the UUP, sometimes the DUP, and going way back into history by variations of old conservative unionism back in the day. So to lose it would be huge. And again, as the man was touching upon, East Belfast, another one of those electoral crowns, it slipped in 2010 when Naomi Long, leader of the Alliance Party, got in because of the huge split in unionist vote, and Peter Robinson, who was leader of the DUP at the time, was having some problems. Never going again. So these matter, Claire, simply because with unionism, it's perception. Perception, I think, is key to politics generally. But for unionism, what they see time after time, not just in elections, but politics and policy from Westminster, it's almost like an ongoing, dragged out, wearing them down sense of loss. So if you're talking about losing Lagan Valley, which I think is possible, not certain but possible, if you're talking about East Belfast, if you're talking again about North Down, another electoral jewel in the crown, which is held by Alliance, just add all those up one by one by one. And I think all of that sense of constantly being on the losing side within unionism, I think that explains why we continue, even at moments like this where there is a crisis. Unionism, as Amanda said, it's continuing to divide, it's continuing to fight. Some of these seats are going to be three unionist candidates. They cannot win the three unionist candidates, but they'd rather squabble and bicker among themselves than face the reality that if their job is to promote and protect the union, they are doing a terrible job if all they're doing is fighting each other rather than having a proper electoral policy tussle with people who would not just are constitutional enemies but also differ with them on societal issues.
So what you're saying is that unionism hasn't grasped that this may be existential, and so therefore all of these squabbles need to be left behind, locked up in a room somewhere, and let's move on. But that's not happening, according to what you've just told us.
No, I think that is the problem, and it's this issue of the focus. I think for unionism, this is just not a modern thing. It goes back sometime. They're constantly focusing on the wrong issues. The issue in terms, if you look at why people often say to me, why has Sinn Féin done so well? You know, in terms given their political baggage and so on, why have they done so well? It's because they have singularly focused on winning the seat, doing what's required to win the seat. With unionism, it's about saying, oh, we must win the seat. And then they don't actually bother focusing on what you need to do to win the seat. And what you need to do to win seats is actually, it's not overfilled. It's make sure. And also the key thing, it's making sure that the candidates you present and the image you present are comfortable. Because one of the problems with unionism, it's not losing votes to Sinn Féin or the SDLP. It's losing votes to the Alliance Party, which describes itself as agnostic on the constitution. But we've seen that maybe at the minute there's maybe 25 to 30% of Alliance's growth vote is due to the fact that people who used to be members of and very comfortable voting with the Ulster Unionist Party are refusing to vote for the moderate wing, the Ulster Unionist Party, because they don't like the links that the Ulster Unionist Party now has with the Democratic Unionist Party. Mm-hmm. You cannot confuse voters, because when you confuse them, they vote for someone else.
All right. Now, East Belfast, Amanda, we've touched on this in this conversation, but perhaps you might tell us a little bit about why people are looking very closely at this constituency as some sort of a bellwether. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, it's the seat for the interim leader, Gavin Robinson. It's interesting that the party hasn't made him the official leader of the party yet. Perhaps they're concerned about his seat in East Belfast. Naomi Long previously took that seat from the former DUP leader, Peter Robinson. Gavin Robinson got it last time out. So it's a bit of a grudge match between Alliance and the DUP as to who wins this particular seat. Now, Naomi Long has faced some criticism for not stepping down as Justice Minister while the campaign's on, but the argument there is that it's only 6 weeks, that it would take longer to read in another colleague, and perhaps it's more for the airwaves and column inches that people are debating that particular matter. I think Alex is right there whenever he's talking about the fight in within unionism. Obviously, the Ulster Unionist Party has no seats at the moment, but it really does want some. And I think that their best hope, as they see it, is probably with the former Health Minister, Robin Swan, who has stepped away from the role of Health Minister,
yeah,
and Mike Nesbitt has now been introduced as Health Minister. So that's the South Antrim seat there that Robin Swan is after, where they've held a seat previously, but it's currently with the DUP. And then we've had just some breaking news in the last few minutes, which is a bit of an earthquake in electoral terms. The former General Secretary and Chief Executive of the Royal College of Nursing, Professor Pat Cullen, has confirmed that she's going to be seeking the nomination to stand as a Sinn Féin candidate in the Westminster election for Fermanagh South Tyrone.
Right, and now we will have heard her name around the time of the strikes in the UK over nurses' pay and conditions. So she's decided to stand.
Yes, she's a formidable trade union leader, so that's a big coup for Sinn Féin. It will be the equivalent of one of the parties getting Mick Lynch to sign for them in Britain. And Fermanagh South Tyrone is one of those constituencies where there is potential for a seat to change hands between Republicans and Unionists.
Okay.
Now, last time out, there was only 57 votes between the Ulster Unionist Party and Sinn Féin, but certainly their campaign there will be boosted by that big sort of name signing.
All right, well, thank you for bringing us that breaking news, Amanda and Alex. I'm sure we will talk again on this subject before we get to the 4th of July. Amanda Ferguson and Alex Kane. Coming up next, Dr. Rosemary Coleman.